Today on Real Radio.
Then, this is just before she dies, she names the child Ichabod, saying the glory has departed from Israel. That's what Ichabod means.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, if you've been following these lessons, you've likely picked up on the fact that Samuel was called by the Almighty at a time when Israel was, well, shall we say, complacent regarding the things of God. And this attitude went all the way to the top of the food chain. The title of this lesson, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 4, is a masculine name. Lots of us have heard, but yet few of us know its meaning. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson simply called Ichabod.
The scriptures tell us that they went to battle, but the Ark of the Covenant was captured. The Ark of the Covenant was captured, verse 11, and Hophni and Phinehas died in one day. They were killed, just as Samuel prophesied. Verse 12, then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh. Remember that same day. Came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. He's mourning. He's rent his clothes because he's grieved at the loss in the battle. That's a normal custom, by the way, and that even in that world today, when you receive bad news, you tear your clothes. And then to show that you're mourning death, you take dirt and sprinkle on top of your head. They still do this today in Israel. They'll take dirt and they'll put it on the grave or the wrappings of their comrade or whoever, their family that has died, and then they'll sprinkle the dirt, that same dirt, on top of their heads. Actually, it's kind of an affectionate thing, don't you think? It's very graphic, isn't it? He comes to Eli, this runner. He tears his clothes and he has dirt on his head. He comes running in grief. Verse 13, now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside, by the roadway, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. Verse 14, when Eli heard that the noise of the outcry, that it was great, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the man came hastily and told Eli. And Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Stop right there. Look. Isn't it interesting that in verse 13, Eli, he knows that his nation is at war. They're battling. He, being old and all, he's seated alongside the road in Shiloh. And he's waiting. Notice what it says, how tragic it says in verse 13. Now, when he came, there was Eli sitting on the seat by the roadway there, watching, for his heart trembled for his sons. Look what it says. And look what it doesn't say. It says his heart trembled for the ark. That's what it says. What's tragic also is what it doesn't say. His heart is not trembling for his sons. Has he given up on his sons? Quite possibly. Remember what they were doing even to the women of Israel? They were having fornication and adultery with them. And he said to them earlier, this thing that you do, it's not good. Duh. Now, according to the commandments, those boys should have been stoned, right? And not on drugs. They should have been killed. He hears the news and he's waiting. He sees this man running. Or maybe he doesn't. I guess he's blind, it says the scripture. Maybe he hears his feet coming. He's anxious. He's sitting there with expectancy about what's happening to the ark. What's going to happen to the ark? Not lamenting the life of his sons. And so when the runner comes, he gives the announcement. And his greatest fears are confirmed. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Wow. Hang on. There's a play on words here in the Hebrew. See the word heavy? Some of your Bibles, doesn't the old King James say fat? Some scriptures say fat. He was huge. Wow. Listen, there's a couple things going on. There's a play on words in the Hebrew with this word heavy. Number one, the word can be, it's an interesting word, because if you wanted to use the word just super obese, fat, and overweight, and all that kind of stuff, there's a word for that, but it's not used here. It's the word that means large in scope, large or big in what he was to be doing, but also large in size. He was a big man. Listen, the play on words is this. He was a very, very overweight man. He was large with large and very overweight commitments to the nation and to God. It's a play on words here. It's very cool. He was not only big, he was big. And when he heard about the ark, he obviously had a heart attack or something here, and he dies. And the scripture says from verse 12 down, on the same day his sons were killed, the messenger comes to him, listen, and makes the announcement, and he dies. Why was he so overweight? Scholars speculate on this. Kind of an interesting thing. Remember, his sons had perverted the priesthood by stealing all the meat that was intended for God and took of the fat of the meat. Now, God says, give me the fat. Did you know that in the Bible? God says, give me the fat. I want the fat. Well, what do we know about the fat? Well, you might say, well, that's where all the taste is at. That's true. And we Americans, we know that better than anybody on the whole planet. It's true. It's a fact. We love fatty foods. But how do you want to, if you want to die sooner, do you eat the good part of the meat or you eat the bad part of the meat? You eat the fatty part, you're going to die sooner, according to the rule. You're going to plug up your cardiovascular lines there. God says, you know what, when you come and sacrifice to me, give me the fat. Give me the toxins. Give me of the meat that you're going to offer, the poison stuff. Did you know that? Give me the stuff that's got all the stuff in it that's not good for you. And we're so funny about that. But it smells good. God, I've noticed when we barbecue an offering to you, that your part smells really good. And I'm kind of thinking maybe you can share some of that. Rather than trust God that what he said no to you about is really, really good for you. Isn't it true that in the garden, God says, of all the trees of the garden, you can eat of except that one tree? Apparently, it appears that Adam had no problem with that. Did you know that? Adam says to Eve, hey, everything's cool, but don't touch that tree and don't even go over by that thing. And the next thing you know, you find her not only messing around the tree, but talking to a snake about the tree. We're not supposed to touch that tree. That tree right there, we're not supposed to touch it. You can almost hear Satan. What tree? Huh? Where? What? This one right here. Which one? The one right Getting close to the line. Oh, if I can just, you know, do this thing and have this too, it'll be all right. If I can just serve God and worship and all that stuff, but have this thing off to the side, it's okay. Just a little bit of fat. Who's going to know? Could it be that Eli became so obese because he was eating of the meat that his sons had really stole from God? And partook of what was dedicated to God for himself. That's a dangerous thing. When you are a servant of the Lord, and all of you are servants of the Lord, that God's attention, God's glory, God's affection is directed from man to him, and it's to be left with him, never to be tampered with, never to be stolen, never to be flirted with. When God says, I will share my glory with nobody, he means nobody. And if we begin to tamper with the glory of God, and listen, we can disguise it a bazillion ways. Eli could have had a larger robe made for him that kind of hung a little bit more loose, that it wasn't so spandex-type looking. And he tried to hide some of this growth that was not right. Justifying. Well, you know, and out comes the stuff. And maybe nobody else knows that if you're involved in whatever you do, and there's this toxin in your life, and it's causing problems in your life. Well, I'll just get a little bigger size, or I'll just say this about it. You know what I mean? You begin to dance with it. Could be whatever. Fill in the blank. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you, talk to me about what it is, how we spend our time, or whatever it might be. He'll talk about that to you. But we'll begin to kind of massage, and I don't remember who said this, but it's a great saying, and that is, never underestimate a man's ability to justify himself. Tonight I heard on the news that we have been flying routine spy flights over that stretch of water in international airspace for nearly 20 years. Every day. Do you know that? Just like the Chinese spy, and by the way, the Russians, I had a United States naval officer tell me that 365 days a year off the coast of Catalina is parked a U.S. submarine. Right next to, and in fact, at times they bump into each other, a Russian submarine. And he said they'll sit there. He says, we'll sit there for about 2 months, and then another one will pull up, and then we trade, the Russian one replaces the other one, and the American replaces the other one, and they sit there right off our coast here, right off our island. Was that legal? Of course it's legal. It's flying over that airspace every day. We do it every day. And this is coming out tonight as some of the Senate is speaking up on this stuff and saying, hey, listen, we are of the Arms Committee and we're of the intelligence group. We've been doing this forever. And what happened? And here's the deal. You've got someone, or you've got a showdown right now of pride on both sides. You say you're sorry. Well, you bumped into us. You know we come by every day at this time. We take pictures of you. You know this. Say you're sorry. We're not going to say we're sorry. We regret that you lost an airman in this disaster. We're sorry for that. But we're not going to say we're sorry because you knew that we were there. And you pull up alongside us every day, but this new pilot or whatever crashed right into our plane. You say you're sorry. No, you say you're sorry. And the flesh is a standoff. And now all of the words on how to hide it and how to spin it. It's very interesting to see how the flesh begins to dance around to justify whatever. And it's interesting. Not only was Eli's influence heavy, but he had grown heavy. And taking things that were not for him. Him and his sons acquiring it to self. And that's a very tragic thing. It says in verse 18 that he judged Israel for 40 years. Isn't that interesting how the number 40? I don't want to make too big of a deal on this, but if you ask a rabbi what is significant about the number 40, they'll tell you it's the number of judgment. What was the message when Jonah got burped up out of the great fish? How many days? Nineveh? 40 days. How long was Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan? 40 days. It rained on the earth and flooded the earth with Noah. How long? 40 days. 40 days. 40, 40, 40. Here's 40 years. Don't want to make too big of a deal of it. Don't want to read or make too much of a devotional thing out of it. But 40 years, I think this speaks of God's mercy. 40 years God was patient with Eli and these boys. It's a very sad thing. And could it be that Eli slipped into this concern for the ark of God rather than being concerned for the witness of God? Could it be that you begin to think, you know what? God's in that place. Ooh, this gets really kind of scary to me because you know what? Do you understand what the ark was? When he had heard about the ark, he fainted and broke his neck or had a heart attack when he heard about the ark. Not, oh, God, his name has been blasphemed. And he croaks and keels over. No. The box that we can put God in has been captured. The box we put him in has been stolen. What are we going to do if God's out of the box? God's already out of the box. God's with Samuel. God's not in the box. The Ark of the Covenant was a gold box. Man, I tell you, I don't care who you are, I'm included. We like God in a box. So, Pastor Jack, I don't. You do too. You do too, because you want to be able to tell yourself tomorrow what you think God's going to do. You think that God is going to handle your situation a certain way.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson quite simply called Ichabod. Ichabod, a look at a section of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Remember now, Ichabod is not exactly a favorable name given to a son. Maybe that's why we don't hear it very often. We'll hear more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Friday, my favorite day of the week. You know why? We do a segment called Ask Pastor Jack. Now, Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, today's Ask Pastor Jack is answered from the pulpit. Here's the question. It's a short one, but a good one. Pastor Jack, what do you think is an appropriate length of time for devotions? Pastor Jack?
Am I laughing inside right now? Because I know a pastor, I can't say his name, you know him. Him and his wife tried to have, they both love the Bible, they both study the Bible, they both teach the Bible. And they tried having devotions together, and they would have their biggest arguments. Because he saw that verse one way, she saw it another way, then he pulled out the Greek lexicon. He's telling her what the Greek original meaning is. She counters with the original Hebrew because it's a verse that's taken out of the old, and they got in a big fight. And then they tried to do it again. They had another fight. They gave up. They said, to protect our marriage, we stopped having devotions together. Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. I don't know. I'll tell you what we do. And I don't know if it works for you or not, but that couple that I was just talking about, that's Lisa and I. No, I'm kidding. But But it's taken almost 35 years of marriage to figure this one out for us. We do the one-year Bible together out loud. Actually, she loves to read out loud, and I love to listen. Yes. So she reads. I lay right next to her. She reads it out loud. I'm listening. And sometimes she'll say, "What do you think that meant right there?" Or, "What a nut that guy was. How come he went over there and you know, whatever?" And so we'll talk about a few things a little bit, but we don't have a set time. I mean, we do it every day, but we don't have a set time from, you know. But that works for us. And we'll discuss what's there. And then from there, we will read. I'm a real A.W. Tozer fan. I love A.W. Tozer. So we'll read Tozer, his devotion for the day. And then how can you not read Charles Spurgeon every day for the rest of your life? I mean, the greatest master of the English language I think this world has ever seen. Read, if some of you do not know who I'm talking about, you've got to get Charles Spurgeon's Daily Devotion. Amen. Change your life, I mean it. So we read him, and then we pray. Those of you who are in the women's ministry, you guys know this well, but Lisa and I will pray the acronym. You know, we'll use the structure ACTS. We'll adore God, we'll give God our accolades, meaning we just recognize his attributes as God, and we'll speak them out loud. Lord, you are holy. God, thank you for this morning, because by that time, the sun is up, the light's coming through the window. We always thank him. Lord, thank you for keeping us through the night, for bringing this day upon us. You're the one that caused the moon to set and the sun to rise. You are the Alpha and the Omega. We'll go through his attributes, and then see for confession. God, and it's great. I tell you what, how many married couples are in here tonight? Raise your hands. Okay, I guess I don't know why I asked that. It doesn't matter if you're married or single or whatever. If you're a Christian, no, I guess it does matter, because I think it's great for a husband and wife. I believe a husband and wife should hear one another's honest confessions. Not confession, not, "Oh God, forgive me for yelling at my wife last night." Not that stuff. It's awesome. Should Lisa, or when Lisa hears me say, "God, I'm sorry that I've been battling these thoughts that have been excluding you out of my mind," or "God, forgive me because I've really been battling with anxiety and I should trust you." She hears that. Now, I have an opinion on this. I don't think I should pray those kind of prayers in front of any other human being on the planet. I don't care who you are. But if I can't, listen, if I'm talking to God, my wife should be able to hear that stuff. We're supposed to be one flesh. And let me tell you, I may like some, there's going to be some nice guys in my life and some good men, but they're not going to hear that because we're not one flesh. That's important to me. So maybe as a married couple, you might want to try that. But you go through that acronym. You go from confession to thanksgiving. You know, it's a great thing about Thanksgiving. It causes you to, every day, you'll honestly thank God that you own a pillow. When's the last time you thanked God for a pillow? You start being so thankful for the simplest things. Thank God that I have a bed, I have a roof over my head. You know, that kind of stuff is awesome. And then S is supplication. That's where we pray for all of those that we know have things going on in life. So that works for us. If you don't have anything going on, try that. But God may lead you to something completely different.
All right, that's Pastor Jack on how much time we should spend in daily devotions. Of course, we try to get to as many Ask Pastor Jack questions as we can, and we love to get them here at Real Radio. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. We read them all. We try to get to as many as we can. You may hear the answer from the pulpit. You might hear it when we get Pastor Jack into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Our telephone number at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.